And the annual backyard garden needs tons of our attention, weeding and watering and fertilize the soil and use the insecticides and all those kind of things, fighting nature, right?
Yeah.
Or the large industrial scale farm, same kind of thing. It's got so many inputs and so many hours and so much heavy equipment and all this stuff. These things both take tons of input.
Yeah.
Whereas the permaculture food forest, or mimicking the forest in nature, except with edible plants, that's a mature scenario where it takes care of itself.
Right.
You know, I live on 100 acres here and it's all forest.
Yeah.
I have a couple acres that is cleared, but everything else is forest. No one's taking care of that. It takes care of itself.
Welcome to your new podcast, Optimum Ideation, with the host and Bridges. Idea interviews. The best of human ideation. Everyone has a superpower. But times are hot. Many are in the darkness of their own mind, in need of a helping hand. Helping others to become whole.
Our sponsoring brands.
Third-party people, NFT Fashion, TGC Fashion, Markpoint.
Enjoy the show with today's guest,
Matthew Britt.
All right. Welcome, everybody, to Optimum Ideation Podcast. Our guest today is Matthew Britt. He is with the Food Forest Abundance, the centralized garden for yourself. And we're just going to roll right in and start asking some questions. What is your story, your resume, and how did you get to here?
Hey, well, first of all, Tim, thank you so much for having me on the show. It's awesome to be here. Let's have some fun. Hopefully I can provide some valuable nuggets for the audience and just overall have a good time.
Yeah.
As you mentioned, my name is Matthew. I'm Canadian, so I live currently about an hour away from the capital of Canada, Ottawa, Ontario. A little town called Prescott, actually. My wife and I live out here on 100 acres, just recently escaped the city and moved out to this location. But prior to being a husband and a father and growing up, I lived in Niagara Falls for 6 years, then went to Winnipeg for 6 years, and then to Thunder Bay, Ontario, and lived there for about 11, and then I came to Ottawa by myself in my early 20s. And just had a great time as a child playing sports. Wanted to really be a professional soccer player and professional hockey player. Those were the two that really grabbed my attention. Had a lot of fun there and a lot of success actually with both of those. Actually, as a hockey player, ended up winning a national championship in Canada, which, you know, most people know Canada for its hockey. That was a very cool experience, but actually that same year I ended up separating both my shoulders a couple times, and that really put a big damper on the dream of being a pro hockey player. So having that experience in sports really taught me a ton of valuable lessons, which I've then carried forward to implement in my life today, especially the things around, you know, hard work and discipline and finding mentors, having coaches, that kind of stuff. And realizing, you know, there's always someone better, so you got to keep working, keep training, keep pushing. But yeah, so didn't have the pro hockey career turn out. So I ended up trying to go to college two times. Ended up dropping out of college. First time I took environmental engineering. Second time I took tourism. And the reason I took tourism was I knew I wanted to travel and experience and explore the world. And I ended up, while going to college the second time, which was when I moved to Ottawa, I tried college first in Thunder Bay, then moved to Ottawa, tried it here, and got working at the gym at the school. And that was a real easy transition coming from an athletic background. I was training already. I understood how the body worked and moved and that kind of stuff. I was really interested and passionate about it. So it was a real simple progression into working in gyms. Got in the personal training world, did that for a bunch of years, ended up in a fitness management position where I opened up some gyms and led teams of personal trainers. And at the same time, I actually discovered network marketing, which, you know, most people say about network marketing, you know, the pyramid scheme or just this language about don't do it. My mom always said, you know, I saw ads in the paper throughout my high school years and was always kind of like interested. Oh, what's this? Should I go check it out? And mom was always like, you know, stay away, stay away. So eventually I discover it and I start going down the personal development side and realizing I can learn what I want to learn. You know, school was always easy for me. So I would start off with A's, and by the end of the year, I'm down at, you know, B's and C's and D's, and just progressively went from okay to I don't care, you know? Yeah. And as I discovered I can learn whatever I want to learn, then all of a sudden the light bulb goes off, and I'm like, I'm a voracious learner, and I love to learn. I still have that passion today. You know, I discovered that I could learn what I want to learn in my early 20s, and now in my early 40s, I'm learning more than I've ever learned.
Exactly.
I'm consuming podcasts and audiobooks and physical books and going to events and seminars and got mentors around me. And what a drastic change, you know, once you realize you can learn about whatever you want to learn about begins to take place if you're hungry and open-minded.
Yeah.
But needless to say, you know, got into the network marketing industry, 7 years of trying, you know, different companies and learning about it. And then all of a sudden the right opportunity comes and it hits. And I go from, you know, a failed entrepreneur to what some would say is an overnight success. You know, basically 2 years, I built a business along with some other incredible people. And I don't want to say any of this was just me, but incredible timing and incredible people, built a business that went from basically $0 in revenue monthly to over $13 million a month in 2.5 years in a network marketing space. Ended up bringing this company to Canada, had incredible success with it. And the interesting thing was, you know, it went up real fast. We had all the success, made all kinds of money. And then we hit our leadership lids. And, you know, things started to go the other direction. And we learned a whole bunch of stuff on the way down. And the awesome thing with all that is, you know, I ended up starting some other things. And I really just discovered more about doing things for purpose instead of money. And like, what's the real value that you're trying to add to the world?
Right.
And if you just focus on that, money comes back to you, but it's really a form of value. You're just getting, the more value you add, the more value you get back.
Right.
Sometimes that value is in smiles and hugs and handshakes and feel good experiences. Sometimes it's in experience of travel and that kind of stuff. And other times it's in dollar bills and, you know, whatever, you know, that's the awesome thing. Once I really grasped that concept, it really, again, changed everything for me, because I could now just focus on doing things I really loved and was strong at and was impact driven and value driven. And I didn't have to worry about the rest. The rest would be taken care of because I was now working in like my gift zone with passion and purpose. Yeah. So I'll backtrack just a little bit. Since I really discovered entrepreneurship, I, you know, sort of goal setting and thinking bigger and doing little hokey things like writing dream boards or visions down and then putting them up around my house or writing them on the mirror. Or like, I have one that I carry in my pocket. I put it in my wallet 20 years ago almost now and still have it in my wallet today. And it simply says, I promise to impact the life, health, and wealth of 5 new friends today.
Yeah.
And just had that little bit of a, you know, a constant reminder. And since writing that, that's really what I've kept as my like North Star.
Yeah.
Which is always doing different things that ultimately are the same because they're all working towards making that big picture impact. Yeah. So I was going through the gym, going through the health and wellness world inside network marketing and the impact made there. And then I got into a t-shirt business that was simply Let's Hug It Out was the name of the brand. And it was a positive apparel brand. The whole mission of the business was to spread hugs, positive vibes, and happiness around the world simply by wearing a shirt.
Yeah.
So started doing that for a few years. And then I got into the solar industry and ran my own solar business. And then most recently, while I was in that solar company, we went through the pandemic and my Canadian business here was forced to close down. Yeah. So I made a pivot, started doing solar in the United States for a company called Power, a completely decentralized solar business. And while I was doing that and as the head of business development, building out their installer network and their roofing and all that kind of stuff, I ended up coming across the company where I'm at now. And what I originally tried to do was unify Food Forest Abundance, where I work now, and Power, with the intention of having those two businesses collaborate. Yeah. Because Power is a business that helps people become energy independent, utilizing solar and storage and that side of things. And Food Forest Abundance is a business built around building out a localized and decentralized food supply, utilizing a science called permaculture, which really just means permanent agriculture. And working with those two, what I saw right away was that everybody who is putting solar on their house is looking for other ways to be more self-sufficient, even if they don't know it yet or not.
Yeah.
And everybody installing a permaculture food forest on their property is looking for other ways to be more self-sufficient, whether they know it or not. And that's a very good complement. So that was my original intention when I came across Food Forest Abundance, was to get those two businesses working together. Unfortunately, at the time, it wasn't the right thing for Power to do, the unification with Food Forest Abundance. So it ended up putting me in a spot where I got to make a choice. You know, what am I going to do? I ended up making the pivot over to Food Forest Abundance and took on a role here with this company as kind of like a head of strategic partnerships and sales and doing all that kind of stuff. So that's kind of the journey to where I am now. You know, I'm a husband, a father to two young children, and loving life, man.
Yeah.
Learning the farming world, being more self-sufficient. Just started, you know, now we have chickens and ducks and awesome. Really getting into that side. And when I say farming, most people kind of default to like the big monoculture industrial farm. And really what we're doing is working with nature. We're putting a permaculture food forest on the property that it's so interesting. I heard, I was on an interview with someone who's been doing permaculture for 14 years. We spoke with him on Friday or Thursday of this past week. His name is Rob Avis from a company called Verge Permaculture. And Rob gave the example of the annual backyard garden or the monoculture farms. And both of those he likened to children, actually, immature life, meaning it needs so much of our attention to survive.
Right.
And the annual backyard garden needs tons of our attention, weeding and watering and fertilize the soil and use the insecticides and all those kind of things, fighting nature, right?
Yeah.
Or the large industrial scale farm, same kind of thing. It's got so many inputs and so many hours and so much heavy equipment and all this stuff. These things both take tons of input. Yeah. Whereas the permaculture food forest, or mimicking the forest in nature, except with edible plants, that's a mature scenario where it takes care of itself.
Right.
You know, I live on 100 acres here and it's all forest.
Yeah.
I have a couple acres that is cleared, but everything else is forest. No one's taking care of that. It yeah. takes care of itself.
Yeah.
Which is like the adult. And when Rob said that to me, what a difference maker that made in my head about why it's such a logical step for humanity to move towards utilizing what nature actually provides for us to grow our food instead of the other way, which is what we're currently doing, where it requires so much of our inputs and time and effort. And guess what all of our efforts are doing? They're fighting nature.
Yeah.
Everything that we are doing when it comes to our current food system is fighting nature.
Yeah.
All we're suggesting is that we start working with it.
Yeah.
Use that resource more wisely and look at the abundance of food that will be there for us.
Right.
Here's a super simple example that Jim says often. Jim Gale is our CEO. Right. And it's, you can count the seeds in an apple, but you cannot count the apples in a seed. And it's like, wow, you're yeah. so right.
Yeah.
That is the abundance of nature. And if yeah. we just started working with that, what a difference we would have in every way.
Yeah.
Because remember, when you have food that you're not having to trade all your time to get, you're now, you have time freed up to do other things. And then your food is healthier because you're not utilizing the chemical inputs. Well, all of a sudden you live a more vibrant and healthy, high energy, clear mental clarity type of life, which exactly. then if that's all happening, now what else do you begin to do? Found energy and vibration and health and all of that, right? So it changes everything. So that's a little about me and how we kind of got to where we're at now. And
no, that's great. I've been you know, only this past, I don't know, 5-10 years really started learning like nutrition and and just how much bad things are in what's on the shelf. And
brother, so, it is incredible.
Yeah.
How many chemicals are allowed into our life that are completely destroying human health.
Yeah.
And I believe it's part of the reason we have so much gender confusion.
Yeah.
This is Matthew's belief, not Tim. He's saying it. And here's why I have that belief. Hormones are chemicals.
Yeah.
Hormones are chemicals. And we have tens of thousands of chemicals that our bodies are exposed to. And we're being exposed to them from our mothers before we're even born. And yeah. then as soon as we're born, we are exposed to even more of them through medical interventions, through the creams and the soaps and the food right. and the clothing and the car material and on and on and on. The list is massive. And that bombardment of chemicals in our body is disrupting the other chemicals in our body and the systems that are supposed to be functioning in a certain way. They're completely being messed up.
Yeah.
Because of that chemical interference, and our yeah. detoxification systems don't work as they should. And because of that, we are having, if the chemicals in our body are out of balance, it's causing us to feel something that we shouldn't be feeling,
yeah.
which causes us to think and behave in ways that we actually wouldn't be thinking and behaving.
Sure.
So
sure.
it is mass. And then what does the medical system do when you start telling them you feel a certain way? They support you with more chemicals.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's my belief, is that yeah. we are messing ourselves up because of these chemicals, not because God has done something to throw it all off.
Yeah. Yeah. I can attest to that. I used to be very aggressive. Well, I kind of grew up in South Houston. And yep, so, yep. you know, a lot of fighting and this and that. Yep. And, you know, and even later on into college, and I didn't know nutrition, you know. And so, you know, I was always short patience and aggressive and, you know, and, you know, I was okay. I was a good person, but you know, hey, you mess with me and boom, there's my temper.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
so, you know, here these past 5-10 years, I've really been able to eat healthier and, you know, and quit drinking and, you know, nice. And just get rid of all the things that really add acid into your body. Right. And
yep, yep.
turn your pH levels the wrong direction.
Yes.
And so, you know, and, you know, doing other things like meditating or breathing exercises and, mm-hmm. and, you know, grounding yourself or go hug a tree,
yeah, man.
You know, yeah. you know, so just other things that people just, oh, that's weird. But, you know, that's nature. That's normal.
Nature.
And all these other things that people are doing is not natural and not normal and consuming.
Exactly. It
so,
is.
Yeah, I'm on the same page with you on a lot
Good
of that.
Good for you. Good yeah. for you.
Let's go to a couple more questions here. What layers did you have to reveal to become who you are now?
Well, great question. And that is a big, big piece of it. Like pulling back. Dropping things you used to be, stories you used to have about yourself,
yeah,
and like becoming a different person, right? Like shedding that skin. I went through serious party time and yeah, drugs and alcohol and women and fighting and all of that stuff, you know, growing up in Winnipeg where we lived, a heavy Native community, and unfortunately very underprivileged in many scenarios. And I ended up in lots of street fights, and I lived in Winnipeg from 6 until 12, right? Bike stolen, beaten up, jacked in poor neighborhoods, and just lots of fighting there. And then moving to Thunder Bay, another area where there's multiple First Nations communities and you know, people again left behind and neglected, and lots of petty crime and fighting and that kind of thing, you know, happening in that place. So I had, you know, that kind of a chip on my shoulder as well.
Yeah.
The drinking didn't help. I drank a lot, used lots of booze. For myself, I just stopped, gave up drinking 100%. It'll be 2 years this May,
yeah.
You know? So that drinking was with me for a significant amount of time in my life.
Yeah.
Started in my teens. You know, that was a massive one to shed.
Yeah.
And again, good person. And I wasn't doing the fighting in my... Once I left Thunder Bay, I left a lot of that stuff behind, you know, and I just changed my mindset from a negative most of the time. One, even though I was happy and felt good, mostly I was still could tell I was negative because I would attract negative energy.
Yeah.
And, you know, once I got here and discovered the personal development books, and the first one I read for your listeners, this is a good suggestion, is The Monk Who Sold His Ferrari by a man named Robin Sharma. And it's that was a spiritual type of fable book. It wasn't right into dry, like, facts and personal development details per se. It was told in a story format that I really at least gravitated towards. And that was a major light bulb that helped me peel back and strip and drop old stuff, embrace new. So yeah, that was a big one, dropping all of those things and then trying to really lose ego and, you know, humble yourself and realize how much you don't know, and really open your mind and ask better questions and really go on this journey of self, not only self-discovery, you know, what things do I do negatively to myself? How do I talk to myself in my own head? Really focus on changing that programming and conditioning. I dropped the television.
Yeah.
You know, at one point I literally got rid of the TV. I didn't even have a TV in my home for about 7 years.
What is the next layer for you to remove?
I really want to embrace. So again, I have a question, what do I have to remove? Well, I know what I want, so I'm going to focus more on that side around the health. I want to, let's level up my health. It's level up my sleep, level up reading again. I actually want to get into bed at a kind of consistent time and actually be reading a book. We have two children, so things have changed
right
over the past 4 years as far as like the laying in bed and reading before going to sleep with my wife and that kind of stuff. So that's something I really want to bring back.
Yeah.
I really want to heal my liver.
Okay.
Right? Because our liver is our number one, not only detox organ, but it provides like 2,000 different functions in our body. It does so many things for us. And I spent a number of years really doing a lot of damage to it through, you know, poor alcohol choices, food choices, again, soaps and shampoos and creams and all those things that are put on our skin on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah.
I barely use any of that stuff anymore.
Yeah.
Almost zero product. But yeah, so I really want to focus on healing the liver. And then I think a big one is even just journeying down more the meditation and spiritual side. Stepping into some martial arts, I'm thinking.
Yeah.
I feel like this is an interesting time in humanity where we're going to need some men.
Yeah.
A lot more of them. More masculine.
Yeah, I feel like martial arts was something that really helped me in my life. And
yeah,
I did Taekwondo and it's, you know, kind of like a art of defense.
Yep.
with counterattack. And
yeah,
once you master those kicks, man, there ain't nobody that's really going to get an arm's length of you.
Yeah. It's powerful stuff to know for sure. And it just athletics and breath work and
yeah.
Right. The mentality, the mental game, the strength, mental fortitude that comes from those things as well. Yeah, so that's some of the things on where I need to go. So it's just more knowing myself. You know, I have to peel back more of the ego, surrender. I really want to go internal. I'm feeling like, you know, 90 days of completely going inside, focus on my wife and I and our little family and no outside distractions other than what I do on a day-to-day for growing our business and impact around the world there and the show that I do.
We all have these extra layers that we know are there, but it's good to like think about it and focus on it, because some people don't even notice, and they're good where they're at.
they just stop striving.
Find
a lot of people lose the hunger for more in life, right? They get in a rut and then they just spend their whole life in that rut.
What trials and tribulations have you been through? Maybe we already touched on some of this.
Well, I've gone through my own battles with drug addiction and alcohol and negative attitude and fighting and, girls, the party world, not facing maybe my own traumas from childhood, or even just things, family stuff that needs to be. So what I found is that most everybody has their own, right? Their own bullshit stories and challenges and all the things they tell themselves. And it's learning how to face those things, talk about those things, admit those things, and then make pivots and acknowledge that you don't need to be perfect, and that the biggest thing and the most important thing is to fail forward, right? As you make mistakes and as you have wins and as you have losses, the most important thing is keep going, right? And I think a major thing from athletics was that learning how it didn't matter. What mattered is that you're always giving your best. You're your only opponent, right? It's sometimes you win and sometimes you learn.
Yeah.
It's about continuing to keep going, and that you ultimately are the determining factor in everything.
In everything.
Life happens for you. Everything is a chance for you to improve if you'll look for that opportunity.
Yeah.
And there's nothing, nothing wrong with feeling sad or bad or, having some of those more negative feelings. But it's like, how do you take those, learn from them, and switch that into the learning opportunity that allows you to then grow and level up?
Right.
Gone through a lot of those just traditional stuff, issues with parents, and here we are today, having lots of fun and feeling great and trying to be the best parent I can be.
Exactly. So when did you become passionate about your focus?
Like our current focus, or?
Yeah, just your focus on, let's say, the decentralized farming and, solar and, this different lifestyle.
Yeah, so that, as I mentioned earlier, when I really started writing goals for myself and thinking big picture about my life and what I wanted, and really discovered that adding value to the world could be what I put my attention on. That was in my early 20s. And that was really the foundation or the initial formation of my big picture, kind of like life mission for myself. And that was to help improve the life, health, and wealth of people, life, health, and prosperity. And I actually have it tattooed on my arm right here.
Okay.
It's life, health, and prosperity. Yeah. And then I also I made myself a family crest.
Yeah.
It's got my last name on it and life, health, and prosperity as well. So I got it written there and then on my back. So I've been kind of, everything that I've been doing has been focused on that as like my core fundamental driver, big picture. And then I've been able to move between the health and wellness world, the positive apparel brand, the solar space, young entrepreneurs. I had an organization called Young Pros where I helped coach and teach and inspire young entrepreneurs. The network marketing industry, the solar space, renewable energy, and now with food forest abundance. Every one of those things has all been ultimately pointed at the same North Star, helping people improve their life, health, and prosperity.
Yeah.
And then most recently joining Food Forest Abundance, it's been the culmination of all of my prior 20 years.
Yeah.
Where we're going now with this business model is, in my opinion, one of the most, you know, one of the most valuable businesses that the world really has ever seen.
Yeah.
Because what we're doing is helping people become more self-sufficient in their food production, but also in their healing and health overall. That's with Food Forest Abundance, but we've got another layer of that business that is called the Freedom Farm Academy. And the Freedom Farm Academy is all about not only self-sufficiency in food, but energy and water and healing. And then it even brings in education, not only education for teens and adults around those five topics, but also actually building a curriculum and a school that can be operated on these Freedom Farm Academies, which is now paying it forward to children and helping teach them about all of these things that are actually really important for success in life.
Exactly.
Not like our current indoctrination system known as the state sponsored education system. So the Food Forest Abundance and the Freedom Farm Academy, that's tied so heavily into my overall life mission of improving life, health, and prosperity for people.
Yeah.
This is just in a much, much bigger way, and we're doing it all over the earth.
Man, I love that mission. I need to talk to you guys.
yeah, absolutely. Maybe there's some collaboration.
Yeah. Who were your greatest contributors to your character?
So coaches, many coaches throughout the years in the sports that I played. And I did try every sport I could, but two majors were the hockey and soccer, as mentioned. And I played for some world-class coaches. Some of my best coaches in hockey had won, you know, Olympic medals and that kind of stuff, and played on the world stage, and same with soccer. So I had fortunate, very good coaches there. And then moving into the entrepreneurship world, being around people like John Maxwell, or going to Tony Robbins events, or, Robert Kiyosaki, or funny one is actually going to see Donald Trump speak three times in person before he was ever in politics, before he even had his show. You know, I had read some of his books and gone to a couple real estate wealth expos, and he was a keynote speaker. So he was actually another one that I definitely learned a lot from.
Yeah.
But the entrepreneurs too that I've worked very closely with, CEOs of big businesses, Nick Sarnicola, Blake Mallon, Ryan Blair in the network marketing space, and Jonathan Budd and Jim Bunch and Charles Thompson and Bobby Smith in the solar world, and those guys in that company. And then, you know, Jim Gale and Michael Hoffman and my partners inside this company now, they've all been tremendous partners to and mentors, people to learn from. So I've learned from books, learned from events, learned from business partners, and then from my children. Ultimately, yeah. I'd say those two children have been some of the best teachers of my life by far, actually.
Yeah.
Hey, they make you, if you want to be a great parent, which I do, I want to be a great parent and a great guide, and I want to raise incredible adults, incredible humans. They provide massive opportunity for me to check myself.
Yeah.
Because they're a mirror to me. What I'm putting out, they mirror back to me.
Yeah.
And wow, the opportunities that they provide for me to be better.
Man, what a great list that you provided there. That's going to add huge value to someone for sure.
Good.
When you first started in your journey, what is something that was more challenging than you had expected?
Well, building up the strength in your beliefs to continue to pursue them regardless of what all of the people around you, and including people in your own family, will say to you as you're trying to venture out on your own and be different from the air quotes normal.
Yeah.
So that stuff, and being able to continually push forward as you go through failure and loss in business, you know, the ability to keep going regardless because you have a belief that something is possible.
Good. Very good.
Yeah.
What is your best piece of advice for an audience that truly wants to better themselves or others?
Probably to keep going, you know, knowing, like, humble yourself and know that you know nothing and get an attitude or an appetite for personal growth, and then build up that mental strength, both in your head and in your spine, that you have done enough learning to have the belief that you can do what you're intending to do if you'll just keep going. Like, it's a combination of those few things.
Yeah.
Right? Knowing that you've done enough of your own personal development to know yourself, that you've done a good enough job investigating what it is that you want to do, and that it's possible, and that you just need to learn more because some, you know, other people have done things that at one point seemed impossible. They just had to keep going, keep learning, keep trying, regardless of all of the negativity around them or the failures that they went through.
Yeah. Yeah. Very good. Now, what practices or techniques throughout your day and your week makes your day or week a success?
Holding the belief that every day, everything that I'm doing is bringing me that much closer to the ultimate goals. Always taking action whenever you feel down, to really start putting action out there to help others, really changes all of that. Changing your wording, you know, what words do you say about things? Yeah. Do I have to do something or do I get to do something?
Yeah.
Big difference, right? Or do I need to do something or do I get to do something? How do you feel, right? Or how do you think? Are you changing all of those things? Consistently improving on that? Are you aware of what you're saying to yourself? And if you are you making sure you're saying the right things to yourself and choosing better words? Because, you know, another very important thing to become aware of is that you're talking to yourself almost nonstop. Are you paying attention to what you're saying? And is what you're saying supportive of you and what you want?
Exactly.
Or is it the opposite?
Yeah.
Leave it there, I guess.
If you could interview three people, who would it be?
Well, the first one that popped into mind is John Maxwell. I love that fella. If someone doesn't know who he is, take a look.
The lady that I coach, she has her training through him as well.
I've read many of his books. I've spent many hours with John in small group settings, where it's been like myself and 25 other people. Had lunches with him and then had larger group events with him. So done lots of time with him, but he's definitely one. Maybe someone from a band.
Love
music. Yeah. And it's just another place where people have to work extremely hard and are extremely creative and put in all that stuff. Maybe it's maybe it's James Hetfield from Metallica, who's gone through his own trials and tribulations with drugs and alcohol and the rock star lifestyle, and one of the most successful bands in the world.
Yeah.
That's what we'll say him. John Maxwell, James
Hetfield. In another universe, I was probably a rock star, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
You too.
Yeah. Mahatma Gandhi or someone just a life built on goodness, or like at least a history, the way we remember them, right?
Yeah.
Goodness. And that, yeah, so somebody like that.
Yeah. Dalai Lama or something.
Yeah. Yeah, Mahatma Gandhi, Dalai Lama.
If you ever write a book or another book, what will it be about?
Right now, as we're going towards this singularity where the natural world is connecting with the technological world, I think it's going to be, there's going to be this differentiator shows up where, you know, made by a human.
Yeah.
Might be important. Because right now, a lot of things are being made by a computer, made by an AI, made by technology, and it's moving more and more away from the human element. And I think that although technology is incredibly valuable in so many ways, and I want to keep embracing that, I think nothing has been more powerful than the technology that we are, systems of systems that have to work together to create life like this is better than anything that's ever been. And we are going to need to reconnect to that as we continue to advance in order to really stay human. That thing is going to be important, I think.
Yeah.
So reconnecting to nature.
That'd be a good one. I'll read that one.
All right.
Do you have a networking event, a book, product, service, or inventions that we can help you promote to the audience?
Yeah. One thing that would be incredible for the audience to not only utilize themselves, but also to share with others is simply going through a 30-minute free or complimentary strategy session with a permaculture designer. And that's our initial offering as a business is anybody who's open-minded to being more self-sufficient and producing their own food on their property. And it doesn't need to be all of it. It just needs to be start producing some. That would be the thing that would help us the most is to go through that 30-minute strategy session with a certified permaculture designer who can help you really understand the value of what permaculture can do for you, your property, others, the community, earth at large, nature, et cetera. That would be the one.
Yeah, I think, it's just something that not a lot of people are taught or even know about, you know?
Yes.
And I'll be honest and say, I didn't really think about it as like a business, you know? But you guys have something really great that you're doing. It's amazing.
I never thought about it. I have zero background really in growing food. I don't come from a growing food or farming background as a family.
I don't think anybody does anymore, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's just not a thing for most people. And I had heard the term permaculture prior to 2021 when I teamed up with Food Forest Abundance. I'd heard that term, but I had no idea what it was.
Yeah.
And, you know, my wife and I, you know, we grew some things in our backyard and a small little annual garden, and we grew some stuff on our balcony when we lived in downtown Ottawa. But and then as a kid, my mom always had a small annual garden, so I'd participate in that every now and again, but that was the extent of it. Yeah. I was like most, I went to the grocery store to buy all my stuff, and still do today. Yeah. We're working on building that up, but everybody should be producing some of that stuff for themselves.
Right.
And what a difference that would make, especially in the Western world where we've been sold this lie about the importance of a lawn that we need to invest our time cutting and caring for and poisoning.
Yeah.
Right. There's 44 million acres of lawn space in the United States. Yeah. 44 million. Just imagine if half of that was converted to a edible landscape that was producing food.
Wow.
Right. What a difference that would make.
Yeah.
Again, I heard a remarkable stat the other day. I'll just get this one out quickly. So that to cut that 44 million acres of lawn just once, we have to use over 163 million liters. Now, I know you guys don't operate in liters, you're gallons. I think that's around 55,000 or 55 million to 65 million gallons, like somewhere in that range. Yeah. It might even be higher.
Yeah.
But think of how much, that's just to cut it once.
Yeah.
Right? Now, yeah. How many people cut that once a week all summer long?
Yeah.
But just think of the tremendous waste that we are doing by caring for that when it could be producing us food.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Wow. Well, as we wrap up, what is the best way for the audience to support you and get in contact with you?
So our company website is foodforestabundance.com. You can contact me directly at Matthew@foodforestabundance.com, M-A-T-T-H-E-W @foodforestabundance.com. If they want to talk, that's a simple way. The one thing I would just circle back around is that we do give away a 30-minute complimentary strategy session with the designer. In the past basically 4 months since we launched that part of our business, we've had well over 1,200 people across the earth book those, go through that. You can read all the review, like so many reviews on our website, but also if you Googled us, you could see all kinds of reviews there from people who've gone through that experience. And it's such a valuable thing to do for people. If you want to be growing some of your own food, it starts with a beautiful design for your specific piece of property, whether that's your backyard or a school or a church or your corporate campus, or you have an old farm that you want to convert, or you've got 60 acres you want to grow on, or whatever it is. If you want to be producing food leveraging permaculture, it all starts with a design. So going through that time with the designer from a high level will really show you the value that's there in doing so, and there's no obligation. So start there. We believe we can be talking to tens of thousands of people a month about growing food utilizing permaculture across the earth, and what a difference that will make as people all over start doing this.
Yeah.
We'll be 2 years old this Earth Day. So today is April 2nd. By the time, it's the 22nd, I believe, is Earth Day this year or something like that. But Earth Day will be 2 years. And we've already done over 700 food forest designs in over 50 countries at this point.
Nice.
And we just see such an incredible amount of momentum and awareness beginning to happen around people taking action on the importance of growing their own food. And we're thrilled to be able to be pioneers in this space in this particular way.
Yeah, yeah. Well, hopefully everybody that listened to this show is going to go sign up and go through this process. I think it's a huge benefit to everyone. Yep. So please go sign up, and I'll put all the links below. And Matthew, it's been a pleasure having you and this extra time that we had today on the show, but I think it's well worth it and it's a good value to people. So
awesome.
Matthew, have a great rest of the day, and we'll be in touch.
Thanks so much, Tim.
Glad to network with you, and I'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, man. Thanks so much. Have an awesome day.
All right, bye. Bye-bye.
So again, I make a pivot, decide this is the right thing. Hi.
Here. Please go close the door.
Guess. No worries.
I'm children, I have my face.
That's awesome. The solar business wasn't ready to make that type of move, so I ended up having to, choose what direction am I going to go, and I chose to head towards food forest abundance and made that decision to switch directions.
I'm recording something. Please just give me a moment, okay? Go in there with mom, okay? Thank you. It's the first time that's happened. Sorry about that.
Well, thankfully, she didn't have any color on her paintbrush.
After Party People Production.